101?
Yes, of 130. No, 102.
102? Oh, shit, we passed 100 a while ago then, right?
Oh, fuck, I don't know. Now I'm not sure.
I'll look at the website.
I think we're 102.
What episode is this?
Season 5, episode 19.
Title?
Hearts of Steel, which aired according to IMDb, aired April 9th, 1990, which was a negative 10-day hiatus.
Weird. Well, no, this is season 5, episode 18, was the 19th of March, 1990. The Lost Amadeus, which is MacGyvecast 101, which just makes this MacGyvecast 102.
Okay. But either they're airing them out of order or someone on IMDb has fucked up.
What day did you say it was? April?
Yes, April 9.
Well, that would be 20-some days after this. This is the last one was March 19th.
Okay, I thought we had an April 19th. The last one was April 19th, though.
No, March 19th. I copied it right from the Lost Amadeus. I didn't get from your notes. Okay. And then before that, Deep Cover was February 26th, which was Season 5, Episode 17, MacGyvecast 100.
So things on IMDb might be wrong, then.
Yeah, well, I got it from IMDb, so I think you just messed it up in your notes. Confuser.
Maybe. So, the summary is a disgruntled steel mill workers kidnap the daughter of the industrialist who put them out of work.
Uh-huh.
Ooh, big scary evil 90s business.
And this is the episode I was telling you that I was confused with the second movie. He got quiet. I hope he stays quiet. So let's resume. As I was saying, this is the episode I was confused with the second movie, the second TV movie.
Okay. So, and I want to ask your opinion. Do you suppose that Wilt was brought in as a replacement for Pete?
Yeah, I mean,
the geeky neighbor.
That makes sense. I was wondering what the hell this guy was doing on the show. So maybe, yeah, because Pete's eyes were probably fucked up. And like, what can we do as a last minute replacement?
Because this is another Pete-less episode.
Yeah, so that's like a Pete-less. Yeah, that's weird. This guy's like a weird one off. I've never seen him before.
Yeah, this is the third episode he's been in.
Oh, so he's the guy. That's right. He's the guy
he was
talked
the guy
outside.
In the bike. He was the guy in the flashback episode.
Yeah, that's right. He was in back in time, and he was the guy out on the dock, right?
Yes. So we open up on the marina. Mac is packing up his hockey jerseys, Hawks and Kings. Wilt, the Uber Canadian, drops by to return the newspaper he borrowed because his got thrown into the water. Wah wah.
Yeah, it's a really lame opening, and then he leaves at the door as Mac is still packing up his dumb jerseys.
Yes, where sporting his Stage 5 mullet.
Yeah, and I watched this one again with that True Motion setting on the TV, and everything looks like it was just like recorded with the modern-day video camera in high def almost, where you can kind of just see the movement. It's really strange to take all the filmic properties kind of away from the show and realize how super low-budget everything was.
Yeah, but the mullet is absolutely glorious. We cut to Blossom buying and then dancing, or going to a music store and then dancing to the music at a music store in a mall.
I have to get a screen snip of it. It's one of the most hilarious things you've ever seen in your entire life.
And she's looked down upon by the snooty olds that are watching her.
Which mall is that? Is that in Canada?
Pretty sure it's Oak Ridge. So that's kind of... God, kind of between Vancouver, downtown Vancouver and the airport.
Right.
Like a 1930s area development. One of the first, second malls locally and maybe one of the first five in North America. So it was a pretty early one.
Huh.
This is its late 80s rebuild version.
Okay, so this is right after they probably saw what they did in the 80s malls with Fast Times.
Yeah,
with
this
Galleria.
Would have been...
This is the Galleria edition.
This would have been completely rebuilt, not completely, but mostly rebuilt, early 80s.
Huh, that's right when they did, the Galleria, too, right?
I don't know.
That's the famous mall that everybody talks about. There's songs about it.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm from Canada.
You saw Valley Girl, you saw Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Well, yeah, but I don't know, and I've heard Adam talk about it. It doesn't mean I know what mall they're fucking talking about.
All right, you're Canadian. You sounded almost Southern there. What else happens this episode?
Okay, so the girl... Well, okay, so like I said, pretty sure this is Oak Ridge. They then cut out and go to the clothing store before they walk past two of the henchmen who just came down the escalator. They're out to steal Blossom. The only thing they know is that she's wearing a purple leather-fringed jacket.
Yeah, that's what they're going to identify her by, which seems kind of shitty. Like, it's the 80s. You can get a photograph, a Polaroid.
Yes.
You can have a school picture, and it's also super convenient for this dumb plot.
It doesn't make much sense. So the girls end up changing jackets when Blossom goes to try on a black leather fringe jacket because it's the 80s. It has to have leather fringe on it.
Yeah, I need another leather fringe jacket for my collection.
Yes, so henchman steals away the girls, but then they decide to lock Blossom in a service closet in the mall parking lot, as you would. Wouldn't you do that?
It's as Silence of the Lambsy as this show gets.
And a comment that they aren't even using a proper rape van. They have a red fucking minivan.
Well, I don't think they intended to do that to this child, you creepy weirdo.
But they should have an abduction van, and that is not a red minivan. So we then cut to Graham Wellington's house, where business is taking place on the phone. Cutthroat business. He doesn't care how many people they put out of work. Because they just recently crushed a company for great profit because business. 90s.
I'm an important man. I'm rich. I have a daughter.
Yes. So inside a box that's been delivered is Lisa's purple leather jacket with a cutout letter ransom note. It says for him not to call the police, so he calls MacGyver.
Yeah, this scene in particular maybe reminded me of what I thought happened in the second movie, which I can't remember what happens now, so it's going to be a surprise to me. But yeah, this episode is really strange. MacGyver shows up at this palatial estate, and again, the budget on this episode seems super cheap. It's like, what, a mall and a house?
Yes, and an abandoned steel mill.
Okay.
We find out that Blossom was out shopping with the maid's kid, because yes, that's another thing that you do. You let the staff's children play with your own.
Yeah. We wanted our daughter to get head lice, so we made sure she hung out with the maid's kid.
Yes, and the father doesn't seem to be very concerned about his daughter, based upon his acting, at least.
Or his rich man suspenders.
And MacGyver will be right over. Graham Wellington starts to liquidate his assets. He doesn't care how the market might respond. And then we see the shitty truck pulling up to Honky Castle.
God, I hate that truck so fucking much.
Yeah, so this makes me wonder, who's the inside man? So who's the one who reported, oh, she went out wearing a purple fringed leather jacket? That's the one you have to grab.
Mini Mullet talking to the dad in suspenders when he's making his business deals.
But it seems like there should have been an inside man.
I feel like he was the inside man. That's what I thought of when I first watched this.
So someone finally hears Blossom in the service closet, and he also has the keys to unlock it, which just doesn't make a lot of sense.
And he's like the fourth man to approach her trapped, and he doesn't rape her. It's like, hey, come on, that's not believable. He's like, he's like, come here, little girl. He sees her nose. He's like, ew.
We have some hot phone tracing action with SVGA action with the cops.
Enhance. 60 seconds.
Yeah, then Lisa shows up, and MacGyver calls her baby.
Yeah, it's so weird. She's like, MacGyver, we've seen each other so many times before. Yeah, and then the maid, of course, is like, you're so wonderful. I'm so happy to see you. Where's my daughter?
Yes. She explains the jacket swap, describes the guy had rough hands, and somehow got fingerprints on Lisa's glasses, which I don't
know
why.
Doesn't she say had rough hands, not like you, MacGyver, or something like that?
I don't know.
I thought there was a really creepy line like that that you were skipping over. And who's the black guy? Is he Yaphet Kotto? Who the fuck is that guy? I feel like he's a character actor who's been in
Flat Top Black Cop.
He's been on the show before, hasn't he?
He's got a really stupid name, like Blue BLU something.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And he's been on this show before.
Probably. I didn't really look at the people this time. He wants them to get her recollection run through that Phoenix Foundation face builder software that we saw, you know, like 3 years ago.
You mean when MacGyver was using the things, the house?
No, at the Phoenix Foundation, the Macintosh program to rebuild a face.
I barely remember that episode, and this is so fucking weird. This is not it's not a good one. There's no Pete, and it's just strange. No.
The ransom call comes in. It's $3 million. Leave the money at the flagpole in the park. And, of course, they hang up before the trace goes through.
Exactly. You're going to give them money, of course. Right, Dad? Oh, no, we don't have that kind of money. We're going to do something different. But something could go wrong. Right, MacGyver? Something could go wrong.
Yes, because heartless evil business.
And she's like, so you basically just learn that, I'm worth $3 million, but this poor girl is not.
Yes, we now cut to the Phoenix Foundation and their stupid Mac-based photo ID program. And where's Pete? And why are they using a 3-button mouse on a Mac? Who knows? And also, dot matrix printout starts happening.
Yeah.
Mac tries to convince Blossom that business dad isn't so bad, but mm-hmm. she thinks he only cares about money.
And then we cut to the the scrapyard with young Stacy Keach.
No, it's Breland. No, I don't say Stacy Keach. So we cut to the previously mentioned Breland Mill, a steel mill. The boss realizes this is the wrong girl. So what will they do?
Who's the boss then? He's Dave Anthony fucked Hitler.
No, I said. Evil Ron Swanson.
Okay, I like Ron Swanson. I like Ron Swanson, but fuck Dave Anthony.
And he gives the analogy of you do what you do like when you catch the wrong fish. You use it for bait.
You mean like cut open the child?
I didn't know that's what you did with bait, or did with the wrong fish.
Hey, come here, kitty, kitty. I got another kid for you.
Yes. I wrote down the payment bust plan, or the payment plan is being explained. So the way they're going to do the bust is being explained.
Exactly. So it's a Yaphet Kotto Blue Man group, yes. And MacGyver, the dad, a map and a Sharpie, and one FBI guy. I'll explain. Here's what we're going to do. Here's what you're going to wear. Here's where we're going to be. Blah, blah, blah. Dumb. It's not going to work out, of course. And then the maid, of course, comforts Blossom in her green shirt and pink sweater, which is obnoxious.
And Lisa, that's Blossom, kind of makes up with Dad before he goes off.
I kind of love you still, Dad.
Yeah, so he drops the money off, and the note says to go to the observatory. They go to the observatory and find Ingrid. But they gave her a message to tell him, to quote, they have the leverage. So Mac figures out that means they're going after Lisa, which the empty house they find is probably a good indication they got her.
Yeah, and I love how his fell for it. It's really convenient.
And I love his super office business phone is a 20 line office phone.
Yeah, and then of course the daughter's reunited with her maid mother.
Yes, but the maid is tied up, but Lisa is gone. Mm-hmm. Ingrid doesn't remember anything. That seems to make Graham Wellington angry. Mm-hmm. Mac wants her to remember what she heard. She heard trains pretty close, and the place felt big, and she was up a steep, gritty stairway. Mac wants to look at her shoes and then just take them to the bathroom for a half hour.
He finds a spring in the tread. Which
Steel shavings.
Yeah, that's right. But it looks like a spring.
Yes, and then upstairs, Lisa's 20-line office phone starts ringing.
Hey, man, she's got a lot of friends, okay?
Yeah, it turns out that's the kidnapper calling on a line they won't have set up on.
With Lisa, of course, tied up calling, which looks hilarious.
Yes, and luckily he remembers to turn off the voice scrambler when he gives her the phone and then turns it back on before he starts talking. This time it's now $5 million in unmarked cash, no cost.
I want some unmarked bills.
Yes. Mac wants to keep the cops involved. Mr. Wellington is going to go it alone.
Yeah, so it's very convenient how much he cares more about his own daughter than this maid's daughter.
Yes, and Blossom's now being held captive, and she asks why, and it's because her father put 500 good men out of work. He promised to keep it open and then shut it down with a single phone call because he didn't give a damn. It was just numbers to him.
He's kind of a bad person.
Yes, although if it's a failing business, it was a failing business. Now, evil Ron Swanson, the kidnapper, clues the henchman into Blossom's short time remaining on this earth and that he's going to kill her.
Mayim Bialik has the presence of a young actress who's either abused at home or under some intense turmoil, but she can bring it.
Yeah, and all that matters now is making Graham Wellington pay.
Yeah, forehead zit Dave Anthony.
Yes, he's got
talking
his money.
A phone on a barrel. Who keeps a phone on an oil barrel?
Well, it's a briefcase phone. Where else are you going to put it?
Okay, I guess that's pretty good.
Yes. Mac thinks this is someone Wellington might have done business with in the past and made an enemy of. Junior executive remembers the Breland deal. A dog the boss, quote, put out of his misery. And gave them 3 whole months severance.
It's pretty good.
I think that's kind of like the bare minimum now.
Yeah, I don't know.
But you have to get 3 months of notice.
It's weird. I've never gotten any severance from anywhere. All right, so MacGyver goes to the steel mill, and he's going to try to climb a fence, but he does it off camera because he's fat and old.
Well, first, evil Ron Swanson calls up and tells Graham Wellington who he really is and where to bring the money.
That's the phone on top of the oil drum.
Yes. Bring the money to the steel mill, or Blossom gets it.
She's going to get it all right from five guys, burgers and fries.
So Mac has already arrived at the mill in his shitty truck. And for the first time, he doesn't just drive in the front gate. He actually, I guess with the mullet comes better intelligence. So he parks out back and climbs over a back fence and then falls on his ass.
Yeah, but he's totally within range of being spotted.
Yes, I'm pretty sure Richard Dean Anderson might be drunk when he's filming this because he keeps falling down and stumbling.
Yeah, he does look kind of stumbly and drunk.
Yes. Junior henchmen aren't down for killing, but evil Ron Swanson is.
Hey, man, we took her in the van. I thought maybe we'll finger this girl. I'm not going to kill her.
Yes, so Mac climbs up and then looks like he has to take a shit. He figures out a way to take out a henchman by climbing up a bunch of equipment, lassoing a gantry crane hook, and then throwing some washers over to the side to get the guy moving, then kind of Tarzan swings and double kicks him in the face.
Guyver has to poop.
Yes. Evil henchman has to go get the car for Ron Swanson. Max spots an electromagnet crane head on a gantry. So, of course, like with all closed steel mills, it's still fully powered and unlocked.
Mm-hmm. And he uses that to his advantage.
Yes, he uses that to grab up the car. And for, I don't really understand why.
Yeah.
Blossom then runs away. Mac crotch slides down some stairs.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it.
Yes, so it's like he hooks his ankles over the handrails of a steep metal stairwell.
Hey guys, I really injured myself doing the stunts on this series. Did you ask the permission of a stuntman or any help? No, man, I did this thing called my patented crotch slide down these stairwells. Nobody asked you to do that, retard.
He's basically sliding down the stairs with his crotch, and it's like his look at my crotch pose.
Yeah, I'm taking a picture of it. He's such a horrible person.
Yes. Blossom is now held at gunpoint by evil Ron. Mac comes up behind him and says it won't change anything. He'll have to kill all of them. Mac then says that the people who worked here want an honest day's work, not blood money. Oh, $100,000, they might want that. If he gives up now, the mill could still be reopened. Even Blossom agrees to it. So evil Ron Swanson then decides to trust Mac, and Mac and Blossom's stupid plan.
Yeah, and then we won't charge him for kidnapping.
Yes, we now cut to the cleanup arresting action with Black Cop Flat Top, or Flat Top Black Cop.
Blue Yaphet Kotto.
Yes. Graham Wellington isn't sure that the mill can be reopened. And then Blossom confronts him that lying is bad, okay?
Uh-huh.
But the dad will look into it. No, he'll do it. Now she loves her daddy again.
And then MacGyver's smiling.
And we freeze on Mac's scary smile.
My God, is it fight? It's frightening. He has a frightening visage. The funniest part is when he falls down at the end after he does that stupid fucking crotch slide.
Yeah, like I said, he's falling down quite a bit. So I'm wondering if he's probably not super high, but drunk.
Yeah, his body's not totally in line with everything.
Yes. And I guess the lesson we learn is that terrorism works. Kidnapping for profit.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious that's what their message was, and I agree.
Yes, and next week we get what I would just describe as one angry MacGyver.
Ooh, so it's like 12 angry men, but in courtroom?
Yes.
Okay, and MacGyver finds out, hey man, this black needs my help, I'm his white savior.
Pretty much.
I'm his white savior.
Pretty much.
All right. Well, I guess season 5 is almost over, then we have season 6, and then season 7... Then all those scraggly fucking extra things, and the show's done. I'm going to go re-upload every single one of the old episodes from season 1 and 2 to the new website we're on. And then I'm going to go polish up the old posts and put in trailers where I can. So at least MacGyver will be the only podcast I have that's completely up in its entirety.
Polish that turd. Polish that turd good.
Mm-hmm. So at least we have it all up. So it's weird if we have just 3 seasons up, but we might as well have all the seasons.
It's such a bad show. None of them should be up.
Yeah, I know.
Then when we finish, we can do the Battlestar Galactica oeuvre. Do the original Battlestar Galactica, and then Battlestar 80.
Mm-mm. I'm out. I'll do the Farscape podcast, but that would be a good show. So then
it'd
be hard. It's a great show. You have no idea. You'd fall in love with it. By season 3, you'd be crying for Muppets.
I don't know. I kind of hate the current Muppets.
No, there's only one puppet on the show. It's a $5 million puppet. Oh, there's two. And then there's one that pilots the ship. But there's nobody else in the main cast that's a puppet. And you barely see this guy. And he also happens to be royalty who had millions of subjects. And he's kind of a douche. And you hate him. But then eventually you're like, you know what? Even though he's a douche and a horrible person, I love this guy. But he's really horrible.
Okay. Talk to you next time.
Bye, everybody. Bam, bam, bam. MacGyver sucks.